one thing we have to keep in mind is that, and we talked about it on the show,
but at the same time, it comes from two different points.
Then all of a sudden, you want to say, oh, well,
you know, I think for me, I don't know if I can speak for everybody else.
This is Dead in Sports.
This is the place where sports opinions collide. Dead in Sports. I'm your host, Kenneth B. Inge. Joining me as usual is FIFO 24/7.
Left.
I've been off for a couple of weeks. Nikki Duce, a.k.a. Mr. Disrespect.
How y'all doing?
Or should I say Mr. Disrespect, a.k.a. Nikki Duce on this show?
Yep.
Get it right.
Yeah. That's his name on this show.
It's like Bruce Wayne, Batman. It's the same thing.
Same nigga.
BZ will be joining us in a few minutes. He just finished wrapping up the Dead End Gaming recording. So make sure you guys go subscribe to that. This show is brought to you live from Dead End Studios here in Atlanta, Georgia. We're on YouTube right now, so if you're listening to the audio version of this that drops every Thursday, catch us live on YouTube, youtube.com/deadendsports. Also, check out our other shows on deadendpodcast.com and our other sports programs such as Chris Platty's Strictly Hoop Talk and B-Ball Talk and Any Given Sunday with Manny at the Manuel Brown on Twitter and at Real Chris Platty on Twitter, who will actually be here the second week in June. So we want to link up that Sunday and get some content. So he's coming here for On Deck TV podcast. Have you heard of them? Because you be knowing all the little podcast niggas.
I'll be trying to try to see what the competition looking like.
Yeah, so they're doing their 300th episode live. So he introduced them to, or mentioned us to him, and wanted us, you know, to kind of connect. So
damn, shout out to them. Episodes. Yeah,
shit,
they committed,
dedicated. Yeah,
yeah. That's not bad. You know, that's what, a third of what we got.
I thought you was trying to promote somebody.
Again.
Nah, what?
Come on, man. I'm just saying that's dope.
It's the Hollywood K.
That's dope.
K right.
Look, we know how it works. We know what it takes.
Unbutton. You know what I'm talking about? That shit.
I mean, we know what it takes, man.
No, of course, of course.
300, man. Like, people rarely get to 300.
Yeah, man.
I it's even worse than that. I heard like you're not really an official podcast until you get to 12 episodes. Because most people drop out before that.
Yeah, I believe it. It's a long grind. Game, man. Yeah.
It's a grind.
Yep. So salute. We get a chance to meet them and connect. So y'all wanted to start with LeVar, man.
Yeah, so, man.
You want to start with LeVar? All
right,
let's go.
Start right
let's
there.
Let's go. Y'all were talking about a pre-show.
This man is a. Is he Black Jesus? Can he predict everything that's going on? Right?
No.
I guess with the Lakers, he got the Midas touch because everything he said is facts.
But I don't think. Look. For us, right? Like, it feels like he predicted something. For him, he was just speaking truth. And I think that's the thing that we got to realize with LeVar. He speaks his truth. Like, and he made a lot of points even when we covered it back then. Like, Magic told me a whole bunch of stuff that was supposed to go down and go down.
This was like in February.
So what does that mean? What does that mean? That means that you're not the guy pulling the strings. And all he did was talk his truth, and we thought he batshit crazy. That man ain't crazy.
Fill me in, because I'm not watching LeVar anymore. I'm done with him. What did he say?
Well, he was actually a more polished LeVar that I seen on Undisputed. Like, at least I can send you the clip, but, like, he was real calm. He talked his shit a little bit, but it was more, he was very, like, presentable as far as, like, what Lonzo's status was as far as his injury and like what he expects him coming into next season, how he's happy that Luke Walton's gone because he held him back, how he was just like, as far as the whole Magic situation, he was like, that's it didn't come from me just bashing Magic. It came from, like people were saying, it was conversations that I was and promises that were had and made but didn't be fulfilled. So, and then, you know, Skip was like, man, you really called all that shit. And
how is he calling it if, like he said, I think it's more he's just speaking his truth and making public stuff that's happened to him in private. So it's making him look like a prophet, but it's not.
Well, because at the time, you got to go back.
What type of Jedi mind trick is you trying to
that's
play?
Not a Jedi mind
I'm
trick.
I'm talking about from ever since we heard of LeVar Ball, when has he been wrong more than right? I mean, when has he been... He's been right more than he's been wrong.
But you get what I'm saying, though?
I get what you're saying, but at the same time, he did say his son was going to play for the Lakers. he got drafted by prophetic. The Lakers.
That was outlandish, and it landed. It just happened.
But I'm just saying, who does that?
Okay, what else he say? What else he say, Nick?
He said Luke Walton ain't a good coach.
What about them other boys?
Well, I'm just saying
we can say he made one prophetic, you know, but here's announcement. The thing, but the other ones didn't come true.
But part of that, right? Part of the promises that weren't fulfilled was having Jello at least make it to the summer league squad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yo, like, look, you didn't even got to draft my boy. Just put him on. Everybody make a summer league squad. Even dudes that have been playing in Europe for 12 years thinking that they're going to get a chance in the NBA, get on the summer league squad.
He said they all were going to play for the Lakers.
But they still can.
It's a possibility.
Look, you know, Jeannie Love, her relationship.
No, wait, hold on. Go ahead and miss on. You think what came out about LeBron today is false?
I do. I mean, it is. I think people just making stuff up. It's not hard to just throw something like that out there.
So we always like to read between the lines with LeBron. Cryptic tweets, what he's saying, what he's not saying.
And Bill Plashy is a respected journalist over in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying that what he heard isn't factual. I'm sure he did hear that. What I'm saying is, no fucking shit, Sherlock. Like, you said it in the test. We've been saying that for a couple of months now. Just guessing.
Yeah, but we didn't expect it to get this bad when we said that.
I'm talking about saying that LeBron would probably demand a trade if they don't make a free agent signing. Somebody said that on the show.
I know what I'm saying, but we didn't expect it. I was saying that way before I knew about all this Genie and Magic stuff, way before Magic left, way before the trade with Anthony Davis became a shit show. Like, it was a lot of things that I was like, wow, I expected it to be not as good, but I didn't expect it to be this bad.
But I guess it's not that hard to make that logical leap, right? To say that, hey, if they don't get a free agent, LeBron may want to be out. So, you know, so that's why I'm like, for Bill to come out and say that, especially with everything that's happened.
But that's still a lot. That's still a big thing to say because he just got there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like he literally just touched down a year ago from this summer.
Yeah, but it's a mess. So why wouldn't he? I mean, is that how he would want to end his career? I don't think so. So it makes sense for you know, LeBron to put the little birdies in.
Of course, but you know, but that's how LeBron is always passive aggressive. So that's why I do believe it. You're saying you don't, or whatever your stance is, I do believe it, because at the end of the day, right? Like, we're looking at a guy arguably the greatest. Arguably, I'm not saying he is. I'm just saying it's arguable.
I think he is. Go ahead.
Okay. Cool.
He want to start an argument. That's
where we're right at. We're right at. But you know, going into his 16th year.
17th.
Or 17th year. 17th year. Rounding out almost two decades in the NBA, still playing at this level. You need guys.
Mm-hmm.
You need guys. It's just as simple as that. And these are babies.
Mm-hmm.
And they not ready for the type of even veteran guys, a la George Hill, a la Larry Nance, a la
Jordan Clarkson,
Rodney Hood, crumbled under pressure. He needs guys that are talented, like Kyrie, that says, give me this because I got it. He needs guys like that, and he don't have it. And if L.A. can't get a guy like that, like Jimmy don't back down. Jimmy go lock up anybody. Let's go, Bron. You want me to rough this guy up? Let's go. You know what I'm saying? Jimmy's that type of guy. He need guys.
So if you see Bron, you think Bron should leave if they don't?
I think he'll demand that trade. He'll demand that trade.
Come back with that
and I think he'll make it public as hell.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not Bron's MO though.
But here's the thing though. Because
he ain't got no trade. He got that. He didn't have a no trade clause.
He don't have no trade clause, and he has to use his leverage.
And he may have left that out intentionally. Now that we can use some hindsight here.
And Jeannie has to listen to that because he's selling tickets. He's selling jerseys. Mm-hmm. He's bringing asses in the seats. Like, if LeBron ain't there, who are they propping up? They're not propping up nobody. But to go back to LeVar, I just think that this past interview showed that he may be an insider now, which is what you're saying is like, oh yeah, he's just basically telling you what he has his son plays for the Lakers, so he should have that information.
He's inside trading.
You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, for the guy who he was just a regular dad. What other dad has inside information? It's because he knows what he's talking about,
but
and he can see things
inside information if his son is the number two draft pick in the league.
I'm just saying, like, the things he's brought up, he brought him up to the forefront early and often. I don't think he expected Magic to leave. He wasn't surprised.
Yeah, if he was so prophetic, why didn't he prophesize that?
But he said he was a figurehead.
He said it was a figurehead. And, you know, Magic don't like to be put in no box. That's why he busted up out of there. So I just think that you got to look at him a little bit more. There's more legitimacy to him than him being a crazy NBA dad.
Nope.
Come on, man.
Can't do it. I can't give you credit for you divulging information that you know in private to the public and then say you're a prophet or you know what you're talking about. Of course you know what you're talking about.
But everybody,
you're the only motherfucker that got
the information. Then why did everybody say he was crazy? Like you.
Yep.
LeVar still is crazy as hell. Right. He still is crazy as hell. All the crazy shit he said, that shit ain't gone anywhere. His son better than Jordan. His son can beat LeBron. Y'all know all this crazy motherfucking shit to say. So he can come out here and say some shit.
They don't have to say wait no more.
Can I guess?
Because at the end of the day, we know that shit was crazy, and that's why that type of shit don't get the same headlines
and do no more. And that's probably why he's on Undisputed being all a house nigga now.
Come on, man. I was going to say, what does FIFA always say? 3 to 5. Lonzo still got time to develop and go. And he could be one of the greatest point guards, or he could be one of the biggest busts in NBA history. We don't know yet, but it's still up in the air. So his stuff that he said still has legs. It may not be standing on that much right now, but
LaMelo is for real. I'm going to just say that now. I've been saying it.
I'm okay just with LaMelo. LaMelo, whatever the other one is.
He's hitting his puberty too. Like he grew up like
yeah, he's 6'7", right? Yeah. He's taller, bigger than Lonzo.
Because the kids are you kind of pointed out their trajectory anyway. So you said Lonzo, you said LiAngelo, okay.
Yeah, I said LiAngelo
or whatever.
Yeah,
you said LaMelo's the guy. So
yeah.
You know, I'm okay with that. But then when he go and say they all going to play for the Lakers, which, man, we can't predict the future.
I'm just saying it's very possible. Look, but if LiAngelo lands on a summer league team, right? Let's play the game of what ifs, right? Like, that's what we do here sometimes.
Where's the plan?
And all I'm saying is that summer league is right around the corner. You add LiAngelo to the Lakers squad. What if one game he has 4 or 5 threes?
All right, so let me ask you this. Why would you do that?
You need shooters.
Yep.
Why would you do that, given the information you just said about LeBron and why he would want in or out?
No, of course. But at the end of the day, it is in the Lakers' best interest to bring every best shooter available.
That's what I was going
to
say.
He can shoot. Way over there in Russia, he can shoot. Bring him.
Why not get a veteran?
It costs more.
Mid-level
cost more. No, I understand.
I'm just going by
you asking for a lot for a mid-level guy.
You want to bring in a rookie that?
But you asking for a lot for a mid-level guy.
But here's the thing though, Ken. My early analysis on LiAngelo was catch and shoot guy, has the body for the NBA, gonna get beat defensively. Doesn't move his feet. All three of them boys don't play no defense. Lonzo's the best one defensively. So let me take that back. But Jello can bang the three. He could catch and shoot. He could move without the rock. He played with two guard dominant brothers. He don't pound the rock. He's a dollar store, dollar general version of Klay Thompson.
All right, fine.
With no defense.
Okay, cool.
$1.50.
You gotta respect the man.
Nah, bro. I can't do it.
All I'm saying is summer league. All I'm saying, Ken.
I'm talking about LeVar.
Wait. He don't who? He not the one getting the contract. Ken, what I am saying is, look, for the sake of selling tickets, for the sake of adding shooters at the cheap, for the sake of being a franchise of their word, if we told this man, look, we'll give your middle son at least, you know, a look-see on a summer league squad, give the man the look-see.
Didn't they do that last year?
No, Jello didn't play.
Right then.
Who played in the summer league last year?
Lonzo.
Who's the middle son?
That's Jello.
Jello.
LiAngelo's the youngest?
No, Melo is the youngest.
Melo's the youngest.
I done got him confused. Yeah. All these damn
Lee. Melo's in the LA.
Yeah, shit.
It's all the gray hair on your face. But, yeah, man, look. Jello can be a rotational guy.
All right, fine. You can have him.
So all I'm saying is just give him a look. See, it's summer league.
Give him a look. But that don't mean you're going to make the team.
But if he has a couple games where he's banging 3, 4, 5, 6 threes, the man did score 70-some-odd points in high school.
He was come on. You saw
catch
that.
And I'm just saying. Though. I'm just saying.
You saw that 70. That 70 was
catch and shoot.
At the end of the day, give him a shot. Let him get his foot in the door.
I don't care. They can give him a shot. I don't care. Give him a shot. I'm not against it. Give him a shot. What next? Okay. That's still not gonna make LeVar some profit.
I'm gonna tell you this. I think Lonzo switching off BBB, like he's not gonna rock their shoes no more. Him switching off of that, I think he's gonna mitigate some of these lower leg injuries he's been having the last couple of seasons.
You say the BBB was his
yeah, man.
The reason
that,
why.
Yo, I think that has to play a factor into it. You talking about a shoe that has not been researched and developed like the likes of Puma, New Balance, Nike, Reebok, all of these major companies that have tech and research and development just to bring these shoes to life. Like, BBB? Where are you getting your research from, bro? Like, you're not. Come on, man. So I think that's going to be a positive move for Lonzo. I think that I've been said it. Lonzo and Bron can play together. Luke Walton was part of the problem, and you got to coach Lonzo up to be more aggressive.
LeBron been doing that more than Luke Walton.
He has. But Lonzo you got to play him minutes, and you got to play him with Bron. You got to play him with Bron.
This is the biggest year for the Lakers in probably the last 20 years.
So
this offseason going into the regular season of 2019-2020, like whatever happens here will either
– years, that's a lot thrown in there in the last 20
I
years.
I think so. In the last – like, yeah. Because, I mean, we're coming up on 2020. So from early 2000 –
1999.
I'm talking about from early 2000.
Since Kobe and Shaq.
Since Kobe and Shaq to now. This is the best – this is the biggest –
Yes, this is the best they've been. No, this is the best they've been since.
No, he's biggest decision.
Yeah, this is the biggest fork in the road for the Lakers franchise in the last 20 years.
Okay, in terms of what?
In terms of either they're going to go in the right direction or they're going to be horrible for the next decade.
Oh, it could be both.
Because LeBron, at some point, if it get right for 3 years, then he out.
Exactly.
Then what?
It could be both.
But championship aspirations are in the next 3 years for them, or supposed to be. He signed a contract for a reason. Mm-hmm. He ain't signed there just to.
But to his point, it would be both. You get the championship, then you back to where you were.
It's short and long term.
But we can swallow a championship. You can't just be bad
they
with
won't
LeBron.
Swallow a championship.
They're willing to do anything right now.
No. They'll swallow. No. When I say that, like once they get that one, they're gonna want another one.
Yeah, of course,
so
everybody
when
want
they go
another
back
one.
Down, so yeah, so they ain't gonna.
But for them to go from where they are now to a championship would be a lot.
But the thing is that with the Lakers' current infrastructure. Team roster, organizational chart, everything. They are lackluster at best, and they are built for the short term, the very short term. Because Brandon Ingram, the jury's still out.
No,
he's still
not.
In the 3 to 5, but I'm kind of starting to
the
come off.
You
out.
Think it's a wrap,
I've
Ingram?
Seen it.
You
the jury out. I've seen it. Oh. He got it. Oh. He got it.
So what is it then? Consistency?
Well, he got a blood clot. I don't know if he got it.
It's fine. It's been fixed.
All right, man. Now we got Kim PhD. So,
LeVar did it. Why can't I do it?
All right.
I made some good calls too.
So like, how good
if that
is Kyle
man fall
Kuzma?
On the floor and he done? I'm gonna talk
like how,
to
like how
pick.
Good is Kyle Kuzma? Right. Like how good is Lonzo? How
I think
good
we've seen Kyle
is
Kuzma
Josh Hart? So
think,
he already hit the ceiling.
Yeah, I think that's him.
I don't think he's hit the ceiling.
Damn. I think that's him.
I don't think that's how you gonna
think
say that.
What else he got, Nick?
The jury. You saying the jury is in for Ingram? But
I think Ingram has way more upside than Kuzma.
I'm not saying he doesn't. I'm just saying like I still think Kuzma can be a better player.
Oh, he can. Okay, but more efficient.
And I like what else can he do better?
He can be better defensively. He's got the length for it. And he got the body for it.
Naturally, you'll become typically a better team defender.
If anything, he's the dollar general, Klay Thompson.
Hell no. What are you talking about?
Kuzma could be.
He can't even shoot.
He can't even
shoot like that.
Efficiency is what I'm talking about. I said dollar general.
No.
You know what that means?
That's not even the same mold,
bro. It'd be different if he can shoot.
That's actually insulting.
Yeah.
It is. To both of them.
Yep.
First you saying I'm a dollar general ass nigga. And then Klay Thompson like, for real?
Right.
Yeah.
Come on.
Clay Thompson was saying for real for all his life. So let's
don't even put me in the same boat. If I'm Clay.
Nah, yeah, you can't disrespect Clay.
I think I got a lot of faith in Kyle Kuzma, unlike y'all.
To do what?
I think he can be a really impactful NBA player.
No, I'm gonna put it to you like this. I think Kyle Kuzma is a slightly better version of Taj Gibson. Somebody that started right as a rookie, started off the bench. You saw possibly double double potential, but consistently, is he gonna be a 23 and 8 or 9 guy, 10 guy? Kyle Kuzma? No, like 23?
I think he could with the minutes, but
I think he'd be a 20 and 5.
Squad. Take him off this squad and put him almost anywhere else. Does he do the same?
I think he'd be a 20 and 5.
Anywhere?
He can
I think
score.
He could be a 20
anywhere?
And 5. I think he can
because
be a 20
and 5. Because there's a difference of getting 20 and whatever with LeBron and going and getting 20 and something by yourself.
He was getting that before LeBron.
I was about to say, put him on a Charlotte Hornets squad with Kemba.
He can get 20 and 5.
With their personnel they got.
I don't think so.
The less people you got to play with, the more touches he gets.
Yeah, but
that's where the efficiency comes in, obviously. But, I mean, he could be a 20 and 5 player. He's talented. Well,
5, yes. 20-10, double-double. Is he a double-double guy?
He can play, but talented?
I'm not talking
about the talented thing. Like, I mean, he played, 4 years at Utah?
Mm-hmm.
He's seasoned, so I think he's, like, almost right there.
Dame Lillard played 4 years, and he wasn't the Dame he was now.
Kuzma don't have nowhere near the
I'm just talking about
has.
Just because you play 4 years in college doesn't mean that's it.
No. But think about it. Even Dame came into the league way more seasoned than most
point guards.
And he was ready for
Light
the moment.
But he got
and
better,
Wait, hold on. He did get better, but he didn't get exponentially better. He got more efficient at what he does. His three-point shot, his range, his ball handling, his finishing ability, mm-hmm. more efficient. But his game is still his game.
And you saw special.
And that's what I'm saying. I think Kyle Kuzma can be an all-star. I'm not saying he's a repeat, like a, you know, 9-10 time all-star, but I see him as being an all-star potential.
Hell no.
All right.
I think he has all-star potential, but I don't know if he realizes
he's gonna reach that potential.
And I think that, like, if you take him off this squad, because LeBron does a lot for his game. Shit. Trust me. Did a lot for Tristan Thompson. Did a lot for a lot of bigs. Ask Shaq. Even Shaq had moments with LeBron. But I don't know if you take Kyle Kuzma off this squad and you put him anywhere else that he does what he's doing right now.
I
don't think he does.
He wants to be better, and he wants to improve. And he's admitted, like, he worked at improving his assist and all the other stuff. So the hunger is there. It's just how much is left for him to tap into.
I look at him like Jimmy Butler came in. No one really thought about him. Counting him out, but his work ethic got him to where he is now. I see the same type of thing with Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah, but Jimmy was like, 9 points? Like, he worked on defense first, and then he worked to improve his offense.
But here's the thing, though. Jimmy is an elite athlete at the NBA level. Kyle Kuzma isn't. You know what I'm saying? So he's
not elite, but he's a good athlete.
No, I'm not saying he's a trash player, nothing like that.
And I'm not saying that he's going to be all time great. I'm just saying I think he's going to be a lot better than what y'all ceiling is for him.
Well, I'm just saying if you look at Taj Gibson's numbers as a starter, he's like 16-10, 18-10.
That's disrespectful as hell that you mentioned.
I don't know why it is.
Taj Gibson is a footnote in every NBA team he's been in.
Taj,
what do you do? What is a memorable Taj gets away when he dunked on Dwayne Wade. Yep. That's it.
Taj had a good two or three years.
He had a good 2 to 3 games.
Yes, he did. he helped elevate those Bulls teams.
To what?
To being contenders with D Rose and all them guys.
And where'd they get him?
Hey man, they ran against LeBron. What do you expect gonna happen?
I'm just saying, like,
Kuzma should be thankful that he ain't Taj Gibson right now. But, I mean, you know, we'll see. It all play out. I'm patient on that because it just means I'm going to get older and closer to death. So I'm not in a hurry to see it. But
all right. This is –
But I think
Kuzma will be better than Taj. I'm looking at the numbers.
I'm telling – that's what I'm saying. Y'all not paying attention to him. You a Lakers fan. You ain't been watching the game. Like, this guy is really
– Oh, wait. I never co-signed that. I just let
Kuzma's definitely a step above. So I was disrespecting. Yeah. I was disrespecting Kuzma.
Well, I call him the Dollar General Klay Thompson. Y'all talking about that's too much. That's too much praise.
Because they're not in the same mold of player.
I look at them in a similar
Bradley Beal and Klay Thompson are more similar.
No, because Bradley Beal can create his own shot off the dribble.
He has more of that, but they both have a lot of similarities.
I think they're two different type of style players. One is a spot up shooter. One is a scorer.
They both spot up shoot. Mm-hmm. Look at the
Bradley Beal's a scorer.
I give you that. No.
But he don't see any spot
Bradley
up.
Bradley Beal got more game than Klay.
He has more off the dribble game than Klay. Of course. Yeah. I got more off the dribble game than Klay. You mean?
Bragging about them.
What you mean?
Hey, yesteryears.
Tell Nick he ain't ready.
I'm not saying you're not lying.
I'm getting hella shit. Sounding like a young buck.
All right, man. What next, man? LeVar. What you any thoughts on LeVar B?
I ain't even watched that interview.
Good.
Yeah.
He was right.
So me and B on the same label. We done with that con artist.
Y'all stubborn, that's what y'all.
He's a con artist, and I stand by it.
How does he
I didn't care to watch it once I saw that he was on there.
So you saying Lonzo's a bust?
I don't know yet.
So then he's not a con artist.
I go back and He hasn't shown nowhere near.
But a con artist means that you've been fooled and duped.
They were fooled and duped, all right. They definitely was that. They were that because he hasn't lived up to any of the hype that was sold. That he sold. So
he had a couple moments.
He's got
Phoenix. How many? One, two.
He got about five.
Kuzma came in.
I'm saying stick to the 3 to 5.
He got about five moments. Couple triple doubles in there, you know what I'm saying?
All right.
I just saying, you know. Got a little something.
The jury's still out. The jury's still out. I'm not gonna rule him out. I go back and forth.
This is third year. So this is the first big leap year.
He gotta stay
healthy too.
Yeah, he gotta stay healthy.
His dad talked about
75 plus games.
Yeah, you gotta stay healthy.
But he better show up. He's going to be back to Lonzo Noball. That nickname is going to stay there.
Man, it's going to be Lonzo all day.
It's going to be BBB, Black Boy on the Bench.
Yeah, man. He better get together.
Yeah. Mm. All right.
Are you talking about the finals already?
No. They just wanted to, you know, get LeVar some more airtime. So we want to start with the finals. We want to start with DeMar.
Also, let's go to
his comment. Talking about his comment, he said,
"Man,
talking about his scapegoat."
I'm not gonna laugh.
What?
Go ahead and laugh. Can't let it out.
Said he was a scapegoat, man. He like, all the hard work and stuff I put in, like they here because of me. They up here because of me. I'm the scapegoat.
Like,
I put in all this work throughout these years of Toronto. And now all of a sudden they're here because of all the hard work that I put in that organization.
You know he sound like
what I'm kind of shit does, what he kind sound of like does that make?
He sound like Ray J with that I hit it first.
Yeah.
I thought Mark Jackson when I saw it, but Mark Jackson never said that shit.
Right.
Other people said it for him. Mm-hmm. Nobody.
Only person that's allowed to say to like come off like, look, I built this ship is Tony Dungy.
I was gonna say Tony Dungy.
It's Tony Dungy in Tampa Bay.
Yep.
And Gruden even thanked him when he at his Super Bowl parade. Tony Dungy for putting together that team because he knows. So that's the only person that deserves to say talk like that.
He helped, but he helped get it started. Like the lawnmower, you just pulling that cord.
Yeah.
You know, and he was the core. He got the more moving. But he also showed that he was the reason why they couldn't get to where they are now.
Right.
So skate.
You got swept. Didn't they get swept twice by LeBron?
Mm-hmm.
Twice by LeBron, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
him and Kyle Lowry put his name in there too.
So he helped put him on the map. He showed what he was like. Oh man, this team could probably do some things if he wasn't on the goddamn team.
I'm gonna put it to you like this: this shows the difference in the paycheck. What Kawhi should be getting, what DeMar should be getting. That's the difference. That's the value. We're seeing it right now.
Yep.
Because you're talking about two guys similar size, similar games. Kawhi, a better 3-point shooter.
Better defender.
Yeah, better defender. But it's not like DeMar's a slouch. It ain't like DeMar's small. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I would say DeMar is more explosive, more athletically talented than Kawhi is. So it offsets. you have enough. Ye had enough. You were the number one team, and you got beat by Bron and the boys.
And you got the game. Like, we saw it throughout the whole regular season. Exactly. And in a couple of series prior to you meeting LeBron.
Yep.
But when you go against – and look, Kawhi never faced LeBron in the East with this Raptors team. We don't know. But what we do know –
it would have been different. It'd have been different.
They would have got a game. They would have got a game.
Kawhi don't feel.
You said they would have got a game.
He don't at all. Kawhi do not fear.
No, it could go seven. Either way,
it would have went six or seven.
Yeah, it would have went six or seven. Either way.
No, it would have. Okay. To your point, yes, it would have went different.
Yeah.
The outcomes we don't know, but it would have been different.
It would have been different because Kawhi does not fear Bron. You see
what Bron when Bron when he came back in the game. What Bron do? Damn.
Yeah,
he won. That wasn't.
Look at it. He laughing. Yeah, that one. You know
just
what?
Making that up.
So
man.
When he saw, so when he looked back and saw Kawhi coming, he was, dang, this motherfucker. Golly,
I was gonna
but
say
Kawhi isn't like he's not afraid of the Warriors. Like,
he's not afraid of nobody.
Yeah. A nigga with cornrows ain't afraid of shit. You know what I'm saying? We learned that from Pusha T. We learned that from a lot of
Udonis Haslam,
AI.
Yeah,
Udonis right. Like yeah. The niggas like that. They ain't afraid of nobody. They hit a play
and with a laugh like that. I'd be scared too.
That nigga don't know how to have no fun. That nigga don't laugh at all.
Shit. I think he trolling with that laugh.
That's for real.
I don't know.
He's too committed to that type of personality.
That's his interviews though, because he been killing these interviews, man.
I'm telling you, man, that laugh. That should be their theme music if they win championship. If they win championship, I'm telling you.
Nah, but yeah, DeRozan, he in his apartment right now in the dark room, watching all the highlight tapes.
He hurt.
But
I feel him though,
and he goes through bouts of depression. So I'm glad he is talking it out.
Yeah. Oh, he is for real?
Yeah.
Him and K Love.
Yeah, I remember hearing about K Love. I ain't know.
But to call yourself the sacrificial lamb, like, come on, man. Like,
he just wants to be part of the moment, man.
He does. But you gotta.
He always will be though, because he like if it wasn't for that trade. They would have gotten here,
but he was the one guy that wanted to be there.
He
built. Let's be honest, he was the foundational piece to get them to where they are. Right, and just think about how deep that is in a sense that if we didn't draft him, we couldn't even trade for Kawhi. You know what I'm saying? Like on building it up on his back and then trading him off to get somebody that's even better. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's just the business of basketball. And sometimes when you are so emotionally attached, right, to the process, right, to being like, yo, I'm doing this for Toronto, and you giving it your all, to see them have more success without you hurts way more.
I understand that, but at the same time, bro, you on a different team, you in a different atmosphere, a team that actually I don't say they want you, but a team that you can still be successful with, like, just move on.
No, you know what I'm saying? Because the Spurs talking about trading him too.
Yeah, he out of there.
Yeah. So you got to think about this too, Nick. This is the only thing he knows. He don't know nowhere else, bruh. From the moment that I was a rookie, from the moment that my name was called on draft night, all I know is Toronto. All I know is committing myself to making this a championship level team. When I got here, they was winning 20 some games. When I left here, we was winning 60 some games. Kyle Lowry, my best homie. We done made a lot of playoff rounds. Like my kids and his kids, they go to school together. Like we tight, bro. Like it's different, Nick.
Yeah.
It's different. You're looking at it from a 2K perspective. And I know we talk a lot from the outside, but just put yourself.
No.
Because that's your profession.
I get it. It didn't hit me until San Antonio said they was going to trade him. Because then now I get it even more as far as. You're
a commodity. No,
like, it's like that Will Smith, you know, off of Fresh Prince. It's like, why don't they want me, man? Like, it's just like, yeah. it's like, Like what? This is he's the stereotypical, like the prototypical player that every NBA franchise always talks about. They want you, somebody who's willing to.
He
you know,
is
blood,
but,
sweat,
but,
and tears.
But you know what? And remember what I just said previously, right? Like this is the difference between the paycheck between Kawhi and DeMar, right? The value. What are you? Where do you rank in a championship level team? You know what he is? The third best player on a championship level team.
Who, DeMar?
Yeah.
No, I won't say that. He could still be the second best player. He's talented enough. He can't
nah,
leave.
He was the second best in San Antonio. What
Thank
did that
you.
Get him?
They didn't have a number one.
I thought he was better than L.A.
He is. LaMarcus is number three.
So who's number one?
They don't have a number one. They have DeMar, which is a prototypical number two or number three.
Yeah.
Right? Best player on a championship team. And they have a number three best player on a championship team. They don't have a number one. So DeMar's supposed to dominate even more. He really didn't, right? Even down the stretch, the mental aspect of it, right, that we continue to criticize him and the Toronto Raptors for, reared its ugly head in their last game to Denver. Did it not? Did they not foul? Mm-hmm. Did Popovich not try to control the game? You're not even looking at your coach, bro. That's mental toughness. Didn't have it. Doesn't have it. Not a champion. Can't be the second best player on a championship team, bro.
Shit, I mean, damn, bro. I thought this was supposed to uplift him.
Well, I'm sorry.
You put a nail in the coffin for his ass.
You know what? And here's the thing also. I mean, he never got a chance to play on that team. With LeBron out of the East,
we don't got time for all that.
I'm just saying he has to be thinking about that too.
But here's the thing though.
But you had
the
your time.
Way, exactly,
no, he did.
No. Wait. Ken. He had multiple series. It's not like, you know what? Patrick Ewing and John Starks and them boys, they didn't lose no sleep for losing to Jordan because they left that all out on that court. And they played their hardest, and they took them Bulls
and
to
at least
six
got
or seven
one.
Games.
They at least got one
And
game.
They beat them once, but it was without MJ.
No, I'm talking about they at least got one game in a series.
Oh, yeah. No, they got a couple games. Yeah. They always push the Bulls. Mm-hmm. So even though you lose and it hurts, if they disbanded it, then you feel a certain type of way. Like, bro, we was right there. But DeMar was never right there.
Yeah. I know, but what I'm saying is he could be thinking, while he had his shot, he could be thinking – well, it's easier for Kawhi because Kawhi don't have to go through LeBron.
Of course, because he's
That's
salty,
what I'm saying.
Mixed salt.
Yeah, but you don't. But you were even a blip on the radar
that is,
for that.
That is
those
a
runs.
Factor.
Though. No. It is, Kent, and I'll give you. But you are a professional athlete, and you should want to go against the best. If you gonna call yourself the best, or if in your mentality, right, and your player and your motivating factor. Is you wanting to be the best, then you got to beat the best.
And also on top of that, if it was anybody else but Kawhi, that argument holds up. But since Kawhi has faced LeBron in multiple
LeBron.
And he was the finals MVP when he beat LeBron. It's like
– We know.
And that was the best – that's the best version of LeBron that was even – that even DeRozan faced. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So it's just like what are you really talking about there?
That second year –
That was the third year.
LeBron was still up there though.
He was still up there, but I don't know if that was the best.
The second year. Well,
That was the third year LeBron.
First and second year, Miami Bron was the best Bron. Physically and IQ. Those two were the best.
But either way, like, I'm just saying, like, it's not an excuse, but I can see him making the argument. And everything you guys said is absolutely correct. But when you don't have to go through that, man. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. And, you know, but, you know, DeMar should just be quiet. Dwayne Casey ain't saying shit.
Dwayne Casey, happy as hell.
You know, he's probably trying to, and he was also a reason.
Big time.
Yep.
Because they didn't get out of mediocrity. See, adding the talent got them to being, you know, 8-7-6 maybe, you know. But when you add the coach, that puts you top three. And that's what, what's his name?
Dwayne Casey. Oh.
That's what Dwayne Casey did for them. Nick Nurse is dope.
That's crazy. Nick Nurse was on his staff.
He was on the staff.
Next year later.
Yep. But, you know, I was like, where did this dude come from? But apparently he was winning titles in the G League.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I understand them elevating him to that role because, you know, he's coached in championship environments. So, but I just need the brothers. to get it together and stop letting these white coaches come in and take all their glory.
But look, I'm
not blaming the white coaches. I'm talking to the brothers now.
No. I feel you. But I think Dwayne Casey left with his head held up high, and he already knew he was going to get another job. Because sometimes,
well, I don't know about that. I think.
The man just won Coach of the Year.
Yeah, but still, but he got fired. What coach years used to get fired?
That happens a lot.
You probably understood the business.
And look how hard it is for Byron Scott to get a job now.
I mean, he could have been coach.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He
that's what I'm saying. Most
Dwayne
of the way, he
could
have
coached.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, Mark Jackson can coach.
We know that's something different.
I'm just saying, like, but how many times have we, like, look at D'Antoni. We know what D'Antoni is.
He can
gonna be the same dude.
Exactly.
But
he can coach.
But
he's not a championship coach, but he can coach.
He can coach, exactly. Man.
He's gonna get you to the playoffs.
Yeah.
He's gonna get you,
He's gonna give you 50-55 wins. Yep.
That's what Casey was doing. He got another job. They give a lot of people.
And D'Antoni done got fired a couple times too.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, like, with black coaches though, they have a short lease with black coaches.
Yeah. It depends on your pedigree. I mean,
exactly.
Dwayne Casey took, when he got the Toronto Raptors, they was barely a 20 win season team. He turned them around to their most, the year he won 60, yeah, the most in franchise history.
So he's the Marvin Lewis of basketball.
No, because
I think that they got rid of him at the right time. Yeah. If there was such a thing as the right time to get rid of a coach of the year coach, it was the right time. And I think, and we talked about this, like, GMs sometimes they tiptoe around the problem instead of addressing the elephant in the room and moving on. And that's the one thing Masai Ujiri has more than most GMs in the NBA.
Okay, so I've put out there that LeBron is a reason why these teams obviously have jumped to the forefront. So let me ask you this. Do you think if Dwayne Casey was coaching that Toronto team down 2 to the Bucks, they come back and win that series?
I don't think they beat Philly.
Okay. So
say that one more time. Hold on.
Down 0-2 against the Bucks.
Uh-huh.
Does Dwayne Casey win 4 straight and win that series to go to the finals? If he's the coach and not Nick Nurse, can he make the right adjustments
with Kawhi or without Kawhi?
With Kawhi, with Kawhi.
I don't think they beat Philly,
I don't think that they win 4 straight. But
I think they win the series.
I think they could win the series. I wouldn't put my money on them.
Because his coaching.
They might not beat Philly, but Kawhi was on another level.
He was. At the same time, it went to 7, and it was the, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was the.
Series was all Kawhi.
Yeah, it was. But I'm just saying, I don't know if his coach.
Well, I ain't going to disrespect Nick Nurse, but.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, Nick Nurse has to get. If we going to give. Like, we talk about. Y'all talk about me all the time about not giving Steve Kerr that much credit. We got to give Nick Nurse a lot of credit,
too. No, I do.
But at the end of the day, right, like, we know that. Especially playoff basketball comes down to a couple possessions, and the possession that mattered most was all Kawhi.
Yeah.
Get him open, and then it's all Kawhi. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, I think the Bucks was Nick Nurse coaching. I think Philly was part Nick Nurse coaching. The rest is all
yeah,
Kawhi.
The rest is mostly Kawhi.
Because Kawhi ain't doing what he's doing, they're not going to – Kawhi. You can argue that Kawhi beat Philly by his damn self. The way he was playing in some of those games, against that stack team, it was something, man. It was something.
Well, I wanted to talk about since we on Kawhi and they in the finals, game 2. So the Warriors won that. Was that the game? Is that the game defining series for this finals?
It could possibly bite them in the butt though. Possibly.
Ooh,
Toronto. Toronto.
No.
I agree with B.
You don't think so?
No. Let me break this all the way down. All
right, go ahead.
Because you know we got our own text thread for the people that don't know, and I was telling y'all that first game felt rusty.
For Golden State. Yes.
They were right there.
I agree.
6 points. Every time they closed it, 6-4 points, boom, Toronto made a run.
Yep.
And they never had that extra gear that makes Golden State Golden State. The whole game, it felt like Toronto didn't play a perfect game, but they played as perfect as you could probably play in a first game against that team. The way they did.
They had their different version of Russ. I think it was just first time there.
Who?
Toronto.
Yeah.
That's what it was for them.
They were a little. Everybody else was a little. a little too big, and then they settled down, and then Siakam went crazy.
So each one had their little emotional.
Exactly. And then Kawhi was just physically done. He's just done, right? You go to game two, felt the same. Till that third quarter hits. And it was
shot miss. It's a make or miss league.
Of course. But what do I always say, right? Besides my 3-5 theory, 20 points ain't jack. But when Golden State goes up, right, when they take that 10 or 12 or maybe even 14 point lead that you had, and in a matter of 5 to 6 minutes convert that into a 10 or 13 point lead of their own, that's a different 12 to 13 point lead, even without Klay. Are you serious? Every team this year has had their opportunity to beat a hobbled Golden State Warrior team, and everybody has failed. Why? They're the better team, regardless of whatever pieces they
put out.
I won't
say that. It was a lot of open shots they missed, man.
They went 6.5 minutes without even hitting a bucket coming out that third quarter.
If they hit at least a couple buckets, that's the worst reset.
That the majority of teams in the NBA go through stretches.
I get
the same way you go on a make run, you go on a miss run.
Yeah, but at the same time,
look at Philly, look at Boston. Look at the top four teams that could have potentially came out of the East. They go through those same runs. The only team that doesn't go through those runs at that period of time length is Houston. That's the only one.
It felt like to me that run was that Toronto's misses contributed a lot to it. It didn't feel like Golden State was doing anything to them.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Taking advantage of their post-streak.
They couldn't hit because
Curry wasn't even really hitting threes like that. He was taking it like dribbling to the getting easy layups, and I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Because the DeMarcus Cousins,
played good minutes for him.
He played really good minutes. Yeah. I just think that
six assists,
and even towards the end of the game, who was it that made that three? Danny Green. Danny Green made a three to make it a 2-point game.
And then Andre Iguodala iced him out.
Yeah, that's when it's still a real close game with time. Even when Andre Iguodala misses that shot, that's at least 6 seconds left.
Kawhi almost got a steal. If he was a second faster to get that steal, he was going the other way.
And that was a bad shot by Iguodala, too.
It was a horrible shot.
Horrible.
But he made it, so it don't matter.
How was it horrible?
It's a playoff moment now.
Because the time on the clock.
Because he could have just dribbled it out.
More time. Yeah. And then it's not like it was Clay or Steph. With them two, you're like, okay.
And Iggy missed. He was like 2-for-14.
Yeah. I get Toronto not really paying them no attention. Because it's like, okay, you ain't even 100%. You ain't been hitting shots like that.
Mm-hmm.
If Andre Iguodala beat us,
then it is what it is.
Better than that than to say, if Steph or Clay is out there wide open, then you looking at coach like, yo, what the hell was that?
Exactly.
What was that defensive scheme?
But you still got to run at him.
I mean, you call it came with his hand a little bit, but
They were defeated when they saw that. It was oh damn!
If Iggy hitting it, it's a wrap.
Right? If Iggy hit that, that's a wrap. I'm still okay with him. Better than him than Steph and Clay.
Did you think it was going in? I did.
I did too. I did too because Iggy. This is why, and I was going to text it to you, but I wanted to say it on. I think the most important warrior, probably throughout this 5-year run that they've had, is probably Andre Iguodala. Because
he's their stickiest glue.
Draymond
might be second.
Every time that they need something from Iggy, does he not come through and deliver?
Yeah.
Like in Houston, do they even get to the Western Conference Final if it wasn't for Iggy?
Did you hear what he said? He plays to protect Steph Curry's legacy.
Yeah. He said that.
And that says a lot about Steph Curry.
He says that.
Because he didn't even take a shot in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't.
He was 0 for 0.
He didn't score.
Oh, you mean he didn't make a shot?
He didn't make a shot in the fourth quarter.
Did he take a shot?
I don't know if he took a shot either. I just know he was scoreless in the fourth.
Yeah, fact check it for me, please. I know I'd be wrong sometimes.
But still lost.
You see what I'm saying? And that's why I said that they're the better team. Because even when your best player doesn't play, it's all about execution. But it's all about execution. And that is the coaching staff. And that's what the biggest advantage Golden State has, regardless of the talent. The biggest factor that Golden State is why Popovich teams are always so feared. It's why the Patriots are so feared. It's not about the talent that they put out there. It's about executing what we came to do.
Curry scored 0 points in the fourth
quarter. I know he didn't score.
Yeah, did he take a shot?
It doesn't say.
It doesn't say. But he definitely didn't score in the fourth quarter.
I think if Toronto would have been able to stave off that run and score, I think we're looking at a different game.
That's what I'm saying.
For me, it didn't feel like a traditional Golden State. You know what a Golden State third quarter run feel like. Because
Klay wasn't there.
But it still didn't feel like that swell coming
on. Of course, but Ken, first of all, you know they're missing Mr. Easy Money Sniper.
I understand okay, go ahead.
No, but what I'm saying is that Golden State made the plays that they had to make. Yeah, it didn't feel like
That's championship DNA.
Of course.
But everybody's talking about the run like it was in terms of stats.
It wasn't devastating. It wasn't devastating. Right. Because Golden State, when they go on runs like that, they devastate you offensively and defensively.
And you feel defeated. Toronto didn't feel defeated. They came back.
Yeah. No, they did come back. However, that's why I continue to reiterate the statement, the best team was shown last night.
But Curry did not shoot a shot in the fourth quarter.
Okay, yeah, so.
The best team.
But my thing is.
Klay only shot once. Klay only took one shot and missed in the fourth quarter.
But my thing is with the way that the game ended for game two, you said that was more for coaching. Because I think it was good coaching on Toronto. Like, if we're going to, let Iggy shoot. And granted, yeah, maybe they should have somebody, you know, at least put a hand up. But it's still Iggy. My thing is, if Kawhi gets, there's a lot of ifs. I know we're drinking right now, but if Kawhi gets that steal, it's a wrap. If Iggy misses a shot, that's a long rebound. And the Warriors have not been good at long rebounds this whole series, or probably even up to this point in the playoffs since the Western Conference Finals. So, in my opinion, I think that was the biggest game for Toronto to take care of home court advantage. Going into Game 3, especially that Klay Thompson may not play and KD definitely ain't playing. KD might even come back as much shit as they trying to talk about him come. Won't he?
But see, that's where I disagree.
If you go up 2-0 going on the road, that's where I
disagree with you, because I think they can get one and go to state.
I think so too, but it's a lot easier to get one than to have the series tied up and now you're going back, because that's what Golden State was supposed to do. You're supposed to get at least one.
But you're not in. I mean, we're talking about a team that was down 0-2 to the Bucks, best team in the league, current MVP,
beat them four times in a row.
Yeah, they're very, very resilient. We saw that when they survived the run and came back and got it within two.
Because Philly tested them too.
Yeah, and they've Philly
been
too. Yeah.
Toronto's been tested all playoffs.
But all those teams ain't the defending champions.
The defending champions are hobbled. Mm-hmm. They're hobbled. They're vulnerable. Mm-hmm. They're
vulnerable.
Yeah.
They're the most vulnerable that they've ever been.
Yeah, even if they were not, I still think they're a very confident team, and I give credit to Nick Nurse and the stability of Kawhi Leonard. So I don't think they look at that loss as a missed opportunity. I think they look at that loss as like, oh, we make a couple of shots. We got this. Yeah. Like, I think they can come out of that confident. I said this to somebody. I think it was Ashton from 3P Set whenever we're here Sunday. I said it feels like it's Detroit LA all over again when Detroit slipped up and lost that second game, and they were like, man, we could beat them. We just let one get away. And
yeah, but Monty Jones has been saying that a lot.
That's how it feels to me. Like, cause they were up 12. They made it was, and I'll tell you the pivotal moment, the key moment for me in that game was they were up like 12 or 14. Or 11, one or the other. But Norman Powell took a three, and he missed. And when he missed that three, the crowd was ready to go crazy. He missed it, and then that's when Golden State went on that 9-2 run because Steph hadn't even scored. Then Steph started hitting the shots, and the series changed. They were down by 5. But it still felt like okay, well, basketball's a game of runs. They went on theirs. We just come out in the third quarter, reestablish control, and we'll be okay. And then they start missing, and then they start missing. Golden State started making. They were like, oh, shit. And mentally, I think they cracked a little.
Yeah, I think so, too. But I think once you don't see the ball go in like it was, especially with game one,
yeah,
you going off that high, yeah, it's hard. It's pretty hard.
But once they got back to playing their ball and once they kind of stabilized everything.
So let me ask you, why do you feel that Toronto can still beat them even though they're hobbled?
The defense. I think their defense is very, legit. Very good. Yes, it's a very good defense.
Five studs on defense.
Golden State hasn't seen a defense like to this level yet in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So I think the defense, their length, I think the only thing that's going against Toronto is their inexperience. You know, and I think some of that showed in game two when they could make shots.
And there's a lot of pressure on Steph this upcoming game.
I think also Kawhi not being healthy, I think that helps, but going to stay healthy. So we're going to, you know.
So when I look at the X's and O's of what Nick Nurse is doing, right, because I think he's been the best coach in terms of adjustments this entire playoff run, right? What he did once Clay was out the game.
The Boston one?
Just blitzing Steph and getting the ball out of Steph's hand. This is why Draymond is so invaluable, because now Draymond starts picking you apart, because he already has a numbers advantage. You put two guys on Steph 40 feet away from the basket. Every time that they went in a pick and roll with Draymond and Steph, they left Draymond. So to
dribble alley oops to Bogut and everybody. Yeah, he did. They haven't seen that yet. Now they got film on it.
No. But see, this is the beauty. This is why I always say Steph is their most important player. It doesn't matter how much film you got.
Still going to create a disadvantage because it'll be two.
Because guys what other on one choice? Guy. What other choice do you have? What other type of defense do you play on Steph Curry?
I feel you.
Going into game three,
and that matters. Is that
the same? Are you still?
So
the
I'm
same?
Saying Clay's out.
Okay, that's where I was out. Going. That's where I was
you
going.
You got Boogie and you got Draymond.
Yes.
Right?
And a hobbled Iggy.
And everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
As a coach, right? I'm putting my X's and O's hat on.
What coach
right
are
now.
You? Nick Nurse?
Nick Nurse.
Okay.
Steph is obviously their only lethal weapon. Mm-hmm. You got to take them out. However, they still got guys that can play. And I think that once you put your defense at a disadvantage like that repeatedly, Golden State's IQ is too high.
Okay.
You said they still got guys that can play.
Yes.
Who are you talking about outside of Draymond?
Draymond, Boogie, Bogut.
Boogie just getting back in the shape,
though.
Boogie was balling.
Boogie played some really solid minutes.
Boogie played some really good minutes, but can you count on him? Because now you're leaning on him to fill.
Man, Boogie helped win that game for
them. Wait. This is all I need Boogie to do. Boogie hit open shots. Boogie make plays. Boogie get boards. Boogie take hard fouls.
Those assists?
Assists were nice. Make I'm just plays. Saying, like, now Clay's out, KD's mm-hmm. out, the scoring load, and what you already were expecting of Boogie is now doubled, right?
Well, no. You want
Because 11-10 and 6 ain't going to win a game three.
Boogie just
needs to play. Game two.
That's with Clay.
Boogie just needs to play the game that comes to him. He don't need to force nothing. He don't need the extra mojo. We don't need you for that. We need you to be.
But they got
Boogie.
Defenders for him.
No, they don't.
You can't stop the don't. Pass, bro.
Who they got going to defend Boogie? Because I ain't seen it.
I think Gasol and Ibaka can do a good job on him.
Ibaka played like shit.
You're talking about the guy who one time in the NBA led the league in blocks. You're talking about Marcus.
He was a different player.
Who said one time, Nick. This is 2019.
I'm just saying, that's more than one time that Boogie's ever done.
What has he done?
You got Marcus Gasol, who's a defensive player.
Okay, okay.
Boogie got 2010
guy. Has Ibaka ever done what Boogie done?
Exactly.
What is that?
2010!
Has Boogie ever been to the finals? This is the first time Boogie's in the playoffs.
That's irrelevant.
That's
irrelevant.
We're talking
in
about
all the games he played, he ball. All the games he played, he ball. Hey,
the three-pointers, the rebounds, the free throws.
Don't make me come at Boogie.
All those assists. Come on at Boogie.
Boogie is inexperienced.
Because all you're going to give me is all the talking points.
He's inexperienced, out of shape, and the moment may be too. We haven't seen him in a big moment yet.
Did that cost them in game two?
He didn't have to. We didn't rely. I'm talking about game three.
I'm talking about game two.
They already won game
Everything
two.
Everything you said that they, was a factor in
who
game
was
two
all
was
there,
it or was
who
it
was
not?
All there in game two that's not going to be there game
so,
three?
So let me ask
and
you.
And when Clay went out, who was on the court in the fourth exactly. quarter?
But that was after their third quarter run, right?
Look. As long as he stays out of foul trouble. If he stays out of foul trouble, Nick, you mean to tell me he can't get 14 points and 14 points ain't enough for Golden State to do what they do?
No, 14 points is not enough. 14 points is not enough for them to win game three with only Steph as their legit weapon. Y'all just said that.
But
against Kawhi, but listen, Siakam, but listen, Van Vliet.
Listen, but you said Ibaka, nigga. Ibaka ain't motherfucking shit. This motherfucker ain't been shit since he left fucking Toronto.
I'm talking to him. First of all, Ibaka had a good game.
When?
What was it against the Bucks to close out the Bucks?
This is not.
And I'm talking. I'm not talking about Ibaka going tit for tat with Boogie. I'm talking about guard. Y'all said guarding.
Like
you said guarding.
Not guard Boogie, bro.
Not for a whole 48 game. A minute, of course not. But he can guard him.
No,
he had to guard him. He had to guard Embiid. He had to guard Giannis.
Nick, these
niggas ain't just slouches. What are you talking about?
Nick, let me break something down for you.
It's the beautiful thing about basketball that I love so much is that to be a dominant player, I don't have to dominate scoring. And Boogie, in the minutes, especially in that second game, was dominant in what he wanted to do because you could not stop him. You couldn't stop him. It wasn't about the scoring. It's not about getting 30 points. It's about control.
Can we – so Klay Thompson being on the Warriors, it creates spacing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Klay Thompson not being on the Warriors. Have you seen their record without Klay Thompson? They have a losing record without Klay Thompson.
Okay.
That's how,
they got a winning record with Steph Curry, though.
Oh, okay. We'll see.
Klay Thompson there, though.
I'm just saying, I'm saying without Klay Thompson, that's less space. Mm-hmm. Like, that's more clutter in the lane. It's going to be a problem. So then how the hell is he going? How the hell he going? You talking about 14 points?
Ken, what was the scenario I posed to you when I had my X's and O's hat on? What was the picture that I painted so eloquently that the youngin' over here doesn't remember?
Steph being double-teamed, Draymond getting the ball, picking people apart.
He's saying Boogie need to just make shots. And I'm saying he has to score at least 20 to 25 points for them to win game three.
I'm old.
Can you do that?
He can.
Will he do that?
I don't know.
His condition.
The way y'all talking, you said he is talented. He Ibaka ain't shit.
I don't know if he is.
If he don't
get like you said, he's out of shape, bro. It was 14 fucking playoff games in between he played.
But he's never been in the playoffs before. He's getting more and more in condition.
He's only played 2 playoff games ever.
But that game 2, it was.
And you know
wait,
what?
Wait. Two playoff games?
He's never been in a playoff game.
Okay.
What do you mean? Okay. He played in the playoff game before.
That's when? He got hurt in the playoffs, didn't he?
No,
that was before the playoffs.
Was it?
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
It was. But Nick, when you watch it,
that's what it is. It's for the playoffs. Come on, we in the NBA Finals.
But it doesn't matter about you not playing. What are you doing now that you're there?
Wait, exactly. And has it looked like the moment has been too big for Boogie?
I'm not saying that.
I'm asking you.
No, it hasn't.
Hold on. Let me pause you right there. So then whatever is about to come out of them lips of yours don't make no sense then. Because you just said that the moment has not been too big. And we also recognize that Boogie as a big man is top 5 as a big, right?
When healthy.
Now, today.
I'm saying this.
Yeah.
This is what I'm saying. The moment hasn't been too big because the moment hasn't gotten too big for him just yet. When he played in game 2, you had Steph, you had Klay, you got Draymond. Nobody's expecting the expectations was all the way down here. Grasshopper expectations. Now that game 3, where he is the number 2 option. Mm-hmm. He's the number 2 option. Mm-hmm. Scoring and defensive help. He's the number 2 option.
And you're telling me now.
What are you saying?
This is his third playoff game ever.
And he wants it. Do you not see this big man that just tore?
I'm changing my pick. I'm going for the Warriors now.
What did Boogie just injure?
Goddamn Boogie!
What was it? His quad?
It was a quad. Yeah,
bro. This man tore his quad. God. Came back. He's diving on the floor. Boogie wants it, man.
I'm not trying to talk shit about Boogie.
And I'm not saying that you got to be realistic.
I'm being realistic.
I'm being realistic because this is not a first or second or third or fourth year Boogie. This is Boogie 6, 7, 8 years in. He's been an NBA vet. I've been showing you I got 25 points a game. I've been showing you all of that. Now, you think I'm a coward, Boogie? The type of nigga Boogie is made out of, the type of cloth he's cut from.
You think that
he's gonna cower in the moment, or the moment's gonna be too big for Boogie?
Have you ever seen Boogie in a moment like this?
I'm asking you a question
to get a title, right?
Exactly.
Shit, this It's his moment, man.
I'm asking you a question.
He ain't supposed to be playing right now.
I'm asking you a question. Has Bookie ever been in a moment like this before? Going into game three, has he ever been asked to do what he's about to do?
Didn't they play in the championship in Kentucky?
I thought they did.
No, they got knocked out.
Okay. It don't matter, though.
So then why y'all acting like this is Patrick Ewing or Hakeem Olajuwon or something?
There's still no pressure on
this
Boogie.
What did y'all say about Giannis? He a young boy, and what he got to do? He got to get beat up in the playoffs before he can get
I understand that. But that's team, though.
Real quick. When the Rockets and Houston play in the finals, was that Patrick Ewing's first time being in the NBA Finals?
Yep.
Yeah.
What'd he do?
Was that his first?
What'd he do?
No, I'm asking you a question.
What'd he do?
Shit his pants.
Hey, Patrick Ewing.
Diarrhea.
It went seven, bro. He got off.
I'm thinking Shaq.
I'm asking you a question.
Put up numbers.
That's not the same thing. That's not the same thing. Because was that his first time in the playoffs ever? Was that the first time in the playoffs ever you saw Patrick Ewing in the finals?
But let me ask you.
No, it's not.
But before Patrick went to the playoffs, while Patrick was in Georgetown, did you have any question that the moment was going
to
be too big for him?
You're going back to college. I'm talking about what's right now.
What I'm saying is,
we've never asked Boogie to do
certain guys perform when the lights are the brightest.
Exactly. There's certain guys that you just know when they in that moment. Like Kyrie. I've been saying about Kyrie. Even when Kyrie went to that first 3-point contest he won, we was doing dead end sports and we asked each other. And I said, Kyrie going to win because he won it. Kyrie is not going to call for the moment. AI is not going to call for the moment.
Hey, when Jason Tatum was in the playoffs for the first time as a rookie, did it look like he was scared?
He didn't look like no damn rookie to me.
I didn't say he was scared.
And he dunked on Bron.
I'm talking about expectations.
Game 7.
Y'all expected him to carry this team to a win in game 3. And I'm saying hell
nobody's
no.
Nobody's saying expect him to carry. We're just saying he is the number 2 option.
He's never been a number 2 option on a championship level team with championship expectations.
But he came there to be.
He came there to win it, to get a chip.
I don't understand why you holding something like that. That's you can't really measure against him.
Because I'm telling you to lower your expectations. Because I don't think Boogie. Because
I've seen Boogie as the number 1 option going against everybody in the motherfucking league.
In the final,
every goddamn
night.
This is the
NBA Finals. This is the ultimate.
Exactly.
Game. This is the ultimate series.
And in game 2, where did he show you that he's
not
ready?
But he wasn't. I didn't say he wasn't ready. But he wasn't asked because he wasn't asked to do that much. He was asked to just be like, "Hey, Boogie, we need some good minutes from
you."
What did I say in the text?
I said,
"Boogie, if Boogie doesn't have a good game tonight, then he may never win. He may never get a big contract."
And only you care about that. I don't care about
because
that.
Because that stuff
is irrelevant.
Because people want to see what he looks like in these moments.
This is what we always say.
Superstars get made in the playoffs.
They are not grade Boogie Cousins in the finals on him just now coming back from a quad injury, knowing that he's not 100% healthy. They're not going to say, this man that just came back from a 14-game absence, we can't pay that because he only did 11-10 and 6. They're going to be saying, like, this man came back from 14 games and put up 11-10 and 6 and carried that team in
game
2.
They're looking at everything he's doing. Like, what did he do to contribute to this run that the Golden State Warriors are going on?
And I'm
going to
tell you what he did. I'm going to tell you why I disagree with what you said. He went from playing, 7-8 minutes or so in the first game? First game back in game 1. Steve Kerr put him in the starting lineup in just his second game back after missing 14 games. That's asking a lot out of him. That's putting him in the moment. You're starting in an NBA Finals game. In that second quarter, he put up 7 points. He hit a big 3. He grabbed 2 big rebounds. He hit 4 straight 3-pointers. He played good defense. Got a couple of blocks. Moved his feet.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. The passes he made in the third or fourth quarter. And you mean to tell me that he give more minutes and more responsibility that he can't step up to the plate?
I'm saying I don't expect it. Man, he can, but I do not expect
it. Well, why don't you expect it out of somebody that
because he's still getting his legs wet in this type of environment?
Nah, man.
But you were talking all that about Giannis as far as he got to get beat up in the player. You said
that's how man's all this.
Well, first of all, we don't. That's gonna happen. We gonna record that
see
too.
Me on the court.
But I'm just saying, we was
court.
Talking about Giannis. We talk about everybody who's young. They got to get beat up in the playoffs. Nobody's ever since Magic Johnson.
But,
no one's ever came in into the playoffs.
Wait. But here's the thing though. It's when you're the number one option on a championship team.
When is
but, wh- wh- hold
okay,
on?
Go,
let
go
me,
ahead.
Let me
go
speak. Ahead. Let me speak. Boogie had that opportunity in Sacramento, never worked out, right? Because it's a supposed to be a relationship between the best player and management to get other great players around me when you realize how great I am, right? That's their job. My job is to be great. Boogie has always been great. Right, so partly of the reason why he hasn't made the playoffs is him and his temperament and a lot of other factors. However, he has never been in a situation to be the number one option on a championship team. Even now, he's not a number one option on a championship team. Therefore, the pressure is not the same for him as it is Steph, as it is Klay, as it is a lot of other players on that squad. Okay. So that allows a talented player to go out there and play freely, because I got a chip on my shoulder to prove to all of you motherfuckers that I need a max contract anyway, and I'm a Rough Rider type of dude. I know big ass Marc Gasol can't guard me. All of you little mugs can't guard me. Give me the ball. Maybe I don't have my legs, but God, in terms of anybody 6'10 and taller in this series, you rather take them over Boogie?
No one said that. What I'm saying is that the pressure that he has on him obviously is not as big as what you said for those three players, Steph, Klay, and Dre. But there's a lot of pressure to be number two in this game. He's never been in this type of situation before. And I'm not saying he can't step up, but I'm not expecting him to. I'm expecting him to lose this game. And y'all acting like they going to win this game.
No, I mean, I ain't saying all that.
Nigga, you just said I was changing my whole pick off of this whole game and this whole argument.
No, what I'm saying is that I expect Boogie to step up. I'm not going to discredit Boogie, because Boogie, after game one, sent the text to everybody, was like, trust me. He's like, trust me, I got it. And he delivered in game two. So now that Klay might be out and Kevin Durant is out, what do you think he's saying now?
He won it.
Give me your predictions for this game three. Give me your predictions game three.
I'll put it to you like this. I'm not going to judge Boogie's game solely on points, because I feel that diminishes him as a basketball player.
It's many because ways to dominate.
I'm not saying that either.
So I
do expect him to score.
I'm expecting a dominant performance, and that doesn't necessarily mean he scores 25 or 30 points.
He doesn't need to score 25 or 30. For them to make an impact on this game, because Steph Kane's,
he could dominate with 14. I'm telling you.
14 points ain't going to cut it.
But if he get 14 points, 15 rebounds.
11 did. 11, 10 assists.
Yeah, Klay was playing.
Klay didn't play. Klay got hurt.
Klay was
quarter.
There for that third. That third quarter run was the game. When we look now, we look back 2020. That was
the
game.
Quarter.
If they don't go up by, it's like they were down by what, 12, and they went up by 6 before they called a timeout.
Did Klay play in the fourth quarter?
He did not.
All right.
Did they need Boogie in the fourth quarter?
Did Curry score? Because they needed somebody to score in the fourth
quarter. And it was Iggy.
Iggy hit one shot.
Iggy hit the game ceiling shot. Okay.
But it doesn't matter. But again, championship level teams execute under the most
duress. And everybody
duress.
Contributes.
Exactly.
Boogie contributed. Iggy
and,
did
and
his I, thing.
And you expect him to. So Boogie will be, if they win game three, it's because of Boogie. If Boogie does not show up, they lose game three. Is that what y'all saying?
I'm just saying I expect Boogie to do what he do.
Exactly.
So regardless of what Boogie does. It doesn't. That won't affect game three.
There are a lot of things that can affect game three.
We've been arguing about Boogie. About Boogie because he's a big piece.
I'm going to tell you like this. Boogie's aggression level is what's going to determine that. It's a good game or not.
So if he's aggressive, game three does. Boogie has a big say in what happens in game three.
I can't say that, man.
Boogie.
So then, what are we talking? What are we that. Arguing here
I'm
for?
I'm just saying that nobody on the Raptors can guard Boogie Cousins.
Then he has a presence. Then he has a say in what happens in game three.
He's gonna have a presence throughout the finals, regardless, bro.
You just want him to say
it. Because I know he want to say it. Go ahead.
No, I don't want to say it.
I was asking for y'all predictions.
Because I'm being very reasonable here. I know the man just missed 14 games.
Mm-hmm.
But
you're not being reasonable.
Do I expect an improvement off 11, 10, and 6, or whatever he got? Absolutely.
How big of an improvement then?
I can't say that. I can't say he's going to go out there and do what he was doing.
So you're expecting more than 11, 10, and 6, or something better than 11, 10, and 6?
I expect Boogie to do what Boogie's been doing.
Y'all just, okay.
I'm in a ballet class
because there's a lot of dancing going on.
I'm not dancing.
There's a lot of dancing going on.
I don't know what the numbers are going
to
be.
Yeah, he had like he wanted us to say Boogie's going to score 25. Yeah,
I'm not have saying a that. I want y'all to double down on what y'all saying about Boogie. Y'all saying he's the most talented big man in the playoffs, top five. Y'all saying that what he contributed in game two is the reason why they won game two.
So why do
y'all saying that now that Clay is out?
I got to put a number on. Well,
I'm not saying put a number. I'm saying
is he not is the most talented Boogie, big man in the player in the finals right now?
The most talented big man in the finals. I mean, okay.
I mean, you said that with a question mark, like we were wrong.
No, I'm going with what y'all said. I'm just telling y'all what y'all been telling me. Mm-hmm. So if Boogie is all that, then game three he will show up
Here's
and have an impactful game. That's
what
I want
I'm
y'all
saying.
To say.
Yeah,
is that what
impactful.
Y'all saying?
But okay. but we haven't been saying anything else because we were saying the last game was impactful with 11 points.
And so
again,
but no, he said he expects an improvement on that 11
why
points.
Why not?
12 points is an improvement.
That's not enough to win the game, but it's
impactful. It's about how aggressive Boogie plays.
If Boogie drops 12 points, they lose that game. If Boogie don't get more,
you know what? I hope Boogie scores 8 points and they win the game. Watch, look. The way that Nick,
if you think that would happen, that's laughable.
Nick, the reason why he doesn't have to score like that is because of how they play for each other. It could be what's the other point guard?
Grant Cook.
Yeah. Cook. No. Listen.
He did. But that was with Steph and Clay in the lineup, too.
But all I'm saying
Quinn Cook ain't doing shit.
That was in the fourth quarter.
But all I'm saying is that Quinn Cook could go on a little run. You know what I'm saying? He can score in bunches. He's their version of Leandro Barbosa. You know, bro, like, they still good. And everybody's going to contribute, which is why Boogie don't have to be Boogie of yesteryear. He don't have to go put up 28 and 13 to even.
And before this final start, I said these injuries are going to pile up, and eventually it will break the Warriors because you can't keep losing teammates like this and then not just affect you.
Okay.
And the fact that y'all think that, oh, yeah, shit, Clay's gone, insert Boogie, and we still going to get going. I'm like, that's not the same case because Boogie's never been in this situation before. He's never been the number two option on a championship level team.
But you know what though? But Boogie has the IQ and the skill set to be that. He just was never that.
If he
because he wasn't afforded that opportunity.
If he proves me wrong, I'll be willing to say I'm wrong. But right now, I don't expect this game to be close.
Wait, hold on. A lot of pressure. In college, that's a lot of pressure.
He ain't do shit in college.
Let me bring it full circle.
What was the last image you remember of that Kentucky team?
Let me bring it full circle.
Tell me what happened.
Forget Kentucky. We ain't talking no college. We ain't talking NCAA. Let me bring it full circle. You put Boogie on any team because he's on Golden State, the most stacked team in the NBA, right? And he's still a factor. You put him on any team in the NBA, what does he do?
26-13.
You put Kyle Kuzma on any team in the NBA, what do you do? You don't know.
The fact that you have to reach down for Kyle Kuzma means that y'all expectations are all over the damn place.
No,
I'm asking a simple question.
Will Boogie make an impact?
So
you want me to put numbers on it?
I'm not saying that. So, but impact as far as you expect, the impact that he had in game two, is that enough to win game three, in y'all opinion?
Obviously, he's going to have more opportunities to be even more aggressive.
More
exactly.
So you're expecting
more minutes. There's going to be more shots.
His productivity is
going to
be more.
Okay. Yes, yeah. His productivity is going to be more. But however, field goal percentage he shoots, however many points he gets, isn't going to be what dictates them winning and losing. It's about, honestly, how many rebounds is Boogie going to get? How many good screens to get Steph open? Because they got to get Steph more open shots. And it's only going to be harder because you don't have Klay and KD. That's who it affects. It's not going to affect Boogie. Boogie's going to get his. Boogie has a very high-level IQ basketball.
I just don't understand how we went from... And I think you were right. When Boogie signed, was you around that time?
Yeah.
Like, everybody was like, man, that's unfair.
Super unfair.
But now all of a sudden, Boogie's a liability.
I think this version of Boogie may be coming off an injury. Yeah, because he's coming off an injury and he's not out of shape. Is this the Boogie you was thinking about when he signed with Golden State?
Bro, I'm hella out. Look, man. I'm just being honest. Months ago, me and B Hooped in the same league, bro. I'm hella out of shape. I'll be the first to admit that shit, right? bro, I come out here and bust like 6-7-3. You don't think Boogie missing what was it, two, three weeks can't come back here and just get back in a rhythm? Devo,
no disrespect.
He is a NBA professional that shoots basketballs every month.
No disrespect
day,
to you and what you and B did and y'all. That's cool. Y'all team. But it wasn't nothing like the NBA finals. And y'all wasn't playing competition like
though.
The NBA finals.
That's kind
of
his
no,
point.
No, his point
though.
Is nope. That I can, if I'm out of shape, I can come back and bust six threes.
His point
Boogie
is
Cousins
that,
can do
exactly,
the same thing.
Because Boogie is a professional athlete who does that for his
but
job.
This is a different level. But he's going against other professional athletes.
And Boogie has that much more talent.
No, who've been playing playoff games for years, who have experience and been in situations like this. He has not.
Well, it's a lot of Raptors that haven't been in the same situation too, Nick.
Not the ones that are not comparison to what Golden State's got going on right now.
Siakam never.
Yeah, but
been
we got
that.
Kyle Lowry. We got Danny Green.
Kyle Lowry never been past
the
finals.
We got
Kyle Lowry.
Never been to the finals.
I mean, the whole starting five has been in the deeper playoffs than Boogie.
But we're talking about
but only two people got championship experience.
Three. Danny Green, Kawhi, and Ibaka. Finals. They played in the finals.
Oh, yeah.
All them other niggas ain't played in the finals.
Who was Ibaka back then in OKC? He was coming off the bench.
But let me ask you this. No KD. No Clay. Shit. Kawhi fucked up Kevin Looney. This nigga done.
Yeah, Kevin Looney done. He's done.
Kevin Looney ain't that super.
He's out indefinitely. He's out indefinitely. Yeah, he's out indefinitely.
Wouldn't you be happy to have Boogie right now?
Yeah, you're happy. They were happy to have Boogie when he signed.
So when it'll be great to have Boogie as a second or third option after losing all that.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why
it's
you don't
it's great to have him because you ain't got shit left. So if I ain't got shit left and I got Boogie, then yeah, it's great to have him.
Then you should be thrilled that Boogie.
Thrilled?
Abso-fucking-lutely.
I am worried. Like the every
yeah, because he's coming off because he's coming off injury.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not talking about a healthy Boogie Cousins. That's what I'm saying. Don't make me talk
but
shit about Boogie
Cousins. But he's as healthy as he's going to be.
A healthy Boogie right. Cousins is something that everybody will want.
50% Boogie Cousins or 100% Kevin Looney or Jordan Bell.
I'm taking
50%
I'm taking
Boogie.
Get out of here, Nick. Why you lying, Nick?
Cause tomorrow, I don't want no damn hobble. Boogie Cousins.
But he's still better.
Hey, Kawhi, when you did that shit to DeMarcus Cousins, if Kawhi bumped into DeMarcus Cousins, do you think he would have been doing the fucking helicopter to the ground?
Nope.
Absolutely not. Kawhi probably would have failed.
Kawhi might have separated his shoulder trying to do that shit.
Kevin Looney has been a good piece for this run that Golden State's been on.
100% Kevin Looney is nowhere near the talent of a 50% Boogie Cousins.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
But for right now,
chemistry and what they got going means way more to me than talent. That means way more to me than talent. We've seen a lot of talented teams lose. I.e. 2011.
I can't get a ball to Kevin Looney and say, go get me a basket.
Not he averaged like over 10 points for the series.
Off of rebounds.
Exactly.
Come on, man. You know how
no matter how you get it,
yes,
you got
it. Yes, it does matter how you get it. When you're comparing the two. You can't give him to say, go get me a bucket. You can't give him the ball and say, carry.
What did they ever say, Boogie, go get me a bucket? What did they
what
say,
do you
Boogie?
Mean?
What did they say, Boogie, go get me a bucket? Where did Boogie's buckets come from? It was, let me get a second chance points. Oh, they left me wide open for a three. I'll take it. That's it.
Hey, he came
Nick,
back.
You don't drink too many ifs, bro. Yeah. When he came back from injury, they were giving him the rock.
Yep. Hey man, look, Boogie.
I'm not even trying to put this anger towards Boogie. My main thing was Steph. So we gotta talk about Steph. Y'all talk when we had that conversation out here that one day.
Same conversation like Dame Lillard.
All right, they saying we need to get off Boogie. So they say minus Kawhi. Who can they depend on to step up? This from JM in the chat because we've been going back and forth about Boogie.
Kawhi, I think I really don't. The thing they talked about with Kevin Durant as far as his injury, I don't even know how hurt Kawhi is and what he can and can't do. Because his field goal percentage has dropped every
tendonitis in his left knee and his quad.
But to what extent? You know what I mean?
I don't know, but those are the
and his field goal percentage, I think.
But he out there, though.
It's dropped every series, or at least now it's damn near every game. And as we saw in game two, if Kawhi ain't hitting and they ain't like, where is that scoring load going to come
from? And that's the question they're asking.
Yes, I think it has to come from Siakam. I think Siakam is it has to. He's the only one that has the matchup.
Middleton. This is that Chris Middleton.
But, but you, y'all asked me if Kawhi scored. Where it's
no.
Who else gonna do it?
I get you. Kyle
Lowry.
That's where it needs to come from.
Yep.
That's where it needs to come from. But
I've never seen Kyle Lowry do what Siakam did in game one. So I'm not.
And Siakam never seen Siakam do what he did.
But I'm saying, at least I got to see it to believe it. I ain't see a damn thing from Kyle Lowry
Bro, Siakam had an out of body experience. Come on, man. He had subpar games since what, Philly?
And when you look at the skill set, Kyle Lowry has the skill set to generate his own, to get other people involved, to make shots easier for Kawhi. He needs to step up. He just does. Siakam is a lot like Chris Middleton, where he's a finisher of plays, where you have he's a dependent player, meaning that a lot of what he does needs to be created for him. Now, Siakam is a little bit different because he does have more of a post game than Chris Middleton does. Chris Middleton fade away, but Siakam could get to either shoulder, stuff like that. But in terms of Kawhi, it comes down to just how healthy he is. How does he feel that game?
And you know, to answer the question, like we've seen it in the first two games, like they're blitzing Kawhi. They're every time he gets the ball, they're sending two or three people at him.
Well, game two they kind of sagged off a little bit, and it showcased out how he couldn't really get his shot off like that for real.
Still, they send the air. Like, every time he catch the ball, they send everybody, feels like the whole team to him because they don't believe in the rest of that roster. Mm-hmm. And it showed in game two. Gasol didn't have the same game. Kyle Lowry for Van two Vliet. Games.
I was going to say, it may have to come from Van Vliet. He's the only one who's been consistent with his scoring.
But here's the thing. Another one of my theories, right? Like, you have championship role players, you have role players, you have all these type of guys that you categorize, right? And the Van Vliets of the world, you can only expect one, maybe two games out of them. So if you get this game, like a Van Vliet game in game three, understand he's probably not going to have another moment.
But this game three is huge.
I feel you.
Every game is huge.
Yeah, every game is huge.
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying for Toronto, if they can't beat this Golden State Warriors team right, like the way they are right now, it's a wrap.
But who does that speak in more volume of?
It says a lot about Golden State.
And that's the whole point I've been trying to make this entire time, that Golden State is superior when you look and try to check the boxes, even with all of the injuries. Championship basketball is won on a couple of plays. Who's better out of timeouts? Golden State. Who shoots a better field goal percentage? Golden State. I could say Toronto's a better defensive team.
And they're a
better rebounding team. I give them those two things. But execution down the stretch with KD, without KD, without Klay Thompson, without Boogie, without – it don't matter. They know what to do, where to get to, and how to do it. And that's what it's going to come down to. And Golden State just has more moxie than Toronto does.
But when all those other pieces start to fall apart and you got to rely on these other ancillary guys on the bench, you know, I give them credit. Anthony McKinney comes in and he does whatever you do. Who expected that from Quinn Cook? You know, but he's been on that roster, you know, for a while
two,
now, right?
2-3 years now.
Yeah, so he's been – like, these guys have been through it. Yeah. Toronto, they're still learning. And I think Kyle Lowry, I think he wants it a little bit too much. And I think he needs to slow down just a little bit.
He got
to
play his game.
And try to play his game. And I think he just got caught up, so – but they're going to need him.
I think he's huge for them defensively. Like, he leads the playoffs in charges.
They need
like,
his offense.
They need that type of defensive play.
So they need Kyle Lowry's playmaking and offense, mm-hmm. right? They need him to get buckets and to create
and
buckets.
And draw fouls. And
that's
stuff
what I mean.
Like that, yeah.
I think the draw fouls thing is going to be the biggest
but
thing.
But he hasn't been getting them, and I don't think he's going to get them the way he got them in against Milwaukee.
And what he needs to do, right, is the Siakam needs about – 3, maybe 4 more easier shots than what he's been getting. That has to come from Kyle Lowry. Yep. That's not going to come from Kawhi. Kawhi is your closer. Kawhi is your assassin. Even if he's hurt, you know he's still good for 20. But the rest of that responsibility needs to come first from Kyle Lowry, secondly from Mark Gasol. And again, just like I was saying about Boogie, it's not about the point total. Are you spacing? Right? Are you setting good screens? What about these dribble handoffs? Like, mm-hmm. how, like, he needs to be effective and aggressive in those little nuances of the game because they show up in the difference of the game. And that's where these guys, the Boogies, the Marcus Sauls, that's where they need to be more dominant at. The Stephs, I want him to jack up all the shots, even if he goes 3-for-20 from the field. It don't matter. That's what I need Steph to do. It don't matter if Kawhi go 5-for-35. I need Kawhi to do that. But the Draymonds, bro, you can't have more than 3 turnovers. Like I need you to play a very high IQ game. I need the others to play the systems that we have in place. The outliers are the outliers. That's why they're great. They don't need what we came up with, what we constructed. Those guys, Golden State just has more of those guys. And the leader of those other guys is Draymond. Because, yeah, Draymond can't shoot, but Draymond's not one of these guys that's like, what do I do? Sometimes he shoots it, even reluctantly, but 9 times out of 10, he's attacking and he's drawing defense and he's creating plays. Mm-hmm.
Getting rebounds, pushing it.
Toronto don't got nothing like that. So when I'm looking at the others, when I'm looking at, and I want to bring it back to Steph, like, what else do you do but take the ball out of Steph's hands? What other defense is there?
And
can't go under because we saw what they did Portland. Under.
Yeah,
right. Like you can't go under.
Nope.
And if you just want to show and go, Steph is gonna ride that big man out, still boogie on this guy, and shoot a three. So you have to get the ball out of his hand. So therefore, even without Klay, there's still spacing.
You know what I would do? Shut everybody else down. Make Steph score 50.
So what you're saying is that you're not going to double team Steph.
Nah.
I wouldn't do that.
I'll take my chances.
I wouldn't do that. I'd rather
no Klay, and then that somewhat nullifies Draymond.
So how you playing pick and roll?
Because
what's your pick and roll defense? You going over the top? You have to. You can't go underneath.
Well, I mean, going over the top, yeah, you got to make him cut. My thing is, to your point, you have no Klay, you have no KD. So if you get the ball out of Steph's hand, it's you hope it's in Draymond's hands. But if it's in anybody else's hands, they don't know what to do.
It's nothing. You can't guard that.
They'll find a way to create, yeah.
Yeah.
To create a mismatch, to create the opportunity. Because, all right, so let's go through every scenario, right? What Toronto is currently doing is blitzing Steph and getting the ball out of Steph's hands. Yep, as soon as you do that at 40 feet out, it puts Draymond at the top of the three-point line with mediocre shooters on the perimeter and dunkers and finishers, right? But Draymond's IQ is so high that he's going to make the right play more often than not.
But he can make the right play, but the shot has to go down.
Of course. But again, mediocre shooters, and they're playing in a rhythm as a team because Kerr has used his entire bench multiple times already.
These guys can't make shots.
And they can make shots. Yeah. Obviously, they're not stepping Klay and KD. We know that. Yeah. But they can make shots. And the moment
against that defense?
Yes. Because already you're at a disadvantage.
The defense will not be sacked off on
those guys because there's not, like, you don't have anybody else to worry about but the two people at most.
No, on the perimeter. Of course. Yeah. It's not going to be – the defense is going to be a little bit more in the paint, but I still trust Draymond Green as a playmaker. He's an elite playmaker.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, the shooters that they have left, I don't really trust them that well to contested shots.
But at the end of the day, we play to get the best shot. We only take contested shots when we have to. And we still got two guys that can make tough contested shots anyway, and a third guy that'll create an open shot for everybody else.
And so, the evidence of that is every bay basket.
Boogie. He don't make tough contested shots.
Contested shots? I mean, you talking about like on the perimeter and outside?
Everywhere. Boogie game is everywhere.
Yeah. All right. Boogie shots ain't never been like wide open. I mean, he got to work his shit in the block.
He get you on the what you mean with the jab? Man got jab work. He got a crossover.
Okay.
So right now Toronto is blitzing the pick and roll. Mm-hmm. Let's look at the other option. So you go over the pick with a big man hedge.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so you still trying to get the ball out of Steph Curry's hand with doing that. You still got Draymond at an advantage against the defense in that scenario.
Mm-hmm.
So What's the other thing? So now you don't hedge the big man. Steph is going to kill off of that screen all day. Because Draymond or Boogie going to put a body on you. He's going to get enough space. We know he only need 3 inches to get it off.
But I think what Ken is trying to say is let Steph get, like, if he shoots and he makes, let
but
it go. Let it
but
go.
You still but have to have a where, philosophy.
Yeah, and the
on
coaching
defense.
Will come into play where they'll coach around that. And they'll create those opportunities, which is what he's kind of walking through.
What are you going to live with?
Because that's how, I mean, Steph can boogie, but Steph is not like one of those guys like a LeBron or like a Kobe.
Yeah, they're just physically imposing.
Yeah, where you just give them the ball and they could just go get a bucket at any, or Jimmy Butler.
Steph has to
he
be
needs space.
They have
he needs
offense.
Space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, yep. So they work.
But Toronto's been good at closing out space even when Klay was in there.
But it's the others,
it's
though.
The others,
but them
yeah.
others I don't trust.
You don't trust them like the first version of the Golden State others, but they're still nice.
If we go down that route,
why don't you trust them?
Because who are we talking about? Quinn Cook and
where have they
Jarepko?
Jarepko's been in games.
And where have they shown that they can't deliver?
No, what I'm saying is because you're I keep talking about it. Klay and KD are out. And you're asking Cook, Jarepko, and Iggy to make shots that contested shots and being and put more of a scoring load on them, including DeMarcus Cousins, more than they've ever been asked for in a very important game three. And I'm thinking, with how good that defense is in Toronto and how Nick Nurse knows what's going on. And knows that Steph is really the only lethal weapon they got. Draymond can do his thing, but I don't think, again, y'all missing a lot of good all-star key pieces that Klay and KD can get 50 between the two. That's 50 less points that you're going to get. So where is that scoring load? I don't trust them to supplement that scoring load.
You know, I feel you. And when KD went out, we thought that, you know, all year long, people have been saying they don't have the same depth. They don't have the same bench. And then the bench had to step up, and they have. They stepped up against Portland.
Yeah, but that's, I mean.
They stepped
defensively, up. Those are teams that
they up in game two. Like, every basket scored in the second half was assisted. Fourth quarter, Curry didn't score. Klay didn't score. You know, the others scored.
Yeah, but you talked about that. You said the reason why that game was what it was is because Toronto didn't hit nothing. If Toronto's hitting something, then that game, we're talking about a whole different – we're talking about Golden State being down 0-2 instead of being even. So you're taking another player off that game that you thought they should have won and could have won, and now you're asking like, oh, yeah, this bench can still get a decent amount to get us over the hump for game three. I don't see that happening. I really don't. And if I'm proven wrong, I'm proven wrong. But from what I'm seeing is like y'all asking asking a lot from this. Like I don't see how Golden State comes out of this series with how many injuries that they have.
I mean, with these injuries, it's gonna be rough.
It's gonna be rough.
But
I'm not saying it's gonna be easy.
But you still expect them to get a dub, possibly. I don't see how they can get a dub.
I see them getting a dub because you have the most lethal shooting player to ever play the game, and you have arguably the most skillful big man in the game today, or one of the top three skillful big men in the game today. You have a power forward that is by far the best playmaking power forward in the league today, and he's plays defense, and you have a system, and you have a belief and trust system that you can call upon. Like they're the mentally strongest team in the NBA. And I don't know how you overcome that.
To go again, this is what Ken said. I could argue that Toronto is in these playoffs because the resilience factor.
They're very resilient, but they haven't won anything.
You're right. But
at
the same
Golden State has won multiple championships. So to me,
but not in this way.
Huh?
Not in this way.
Doesn't matter. When you have the moxie, bro, you don't lose the moxie.
We'll see.
Who y'all got for game three?
I got Golden State.
Golden State.
Raptors.
You be flip-flopping. I'm like, I'm gonna do like skip. I'm going to buy you some flip-flops, man. Because you be flip-flopping all over this damn thing. I still got the Raptors definitely in game three because, Kawhi got some rest under him. Nick Nurse is gonna get these boys up. And they got Nick Nurse is like, shit, nigga, they ain't got Clay or KD. If we don't win this shit,
think that way though.
Yeah, you can't.
But I'm just saying, like, this is the best opportunity for us to
can't
take over the series.
That way.
How not?
Take it another game.
How not?
Yep. Another game.
No matter who
doesn't
playing.
Matter who.
No, I'm saying game at a time. This game is like it's a like this is the game we gotta take.
That's how you lose when you go into that mindset.
Yeah, yeah. because you're adding the variables. We don't care about no variables.
Don't care about no variables.
There's five white jerseys.
Yep.
There's five black or red or purple jerseys, whatever color jerseys we got, and that's it.
We just gotta go out there and execute.
That's it. That's it. It don't matter who's playing. Yep. It don't matter who's on the injury report. It don't matter. They got five jerseys. We got five jerseys. We out here.
All right, we'll see.
What Zeke say on First Take? You don't win championships. You take them.
You take them, yep.
And that's what they got to do.
That's what you got to do. Yeah. You got to take it.
They got to take this, man, regardless of who hurt or who not. Yep. Golden State did it. Right. They ain't care who.
They ain't care. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We'll see.
But you got to get 20-10-5.
I mean, even if Clay was playing,
why does that seem so far fetched?
I'm not saying it's far fetched. I'm saying that's what he got to get.
Okay. They still may lose.
Yep. Yeah. And that's what I said. It's not depending on what the numbers.
Yeah.
Not depending on the numbers.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that's it. I want to talk about the hockey.
Hey, Stanley Cup final. What is it?
Yeah, he really going to do
it. I'm going to do it, yeah. Somebody's asking, like, damn, all they talk about is football, basketball.
There's one black brother in Winnipeg. He going to be like, yo, that is sports. With the hockey, yeah, boy, keep it up.
Hey, the Boston fans out there who's listening, y'all Bruins is up. I don't know when the next game is, but, y'all, I think the series is 2-1. Hopefully y'all can close it out. And we can talk about other stuff besides hockey. But shout out to y'all for y'all watching that. And, just wanted to, you know, talk to the hockey fans out there that still like basketball and stuff, too. But, yeah, that's it for me. Oh, no, B, you got something, too. The fight.
Joshua threw one punch, and that was at the very end.
Oh, that hook.
Well, not quite a wink, but he flashes his eyebrows. He better throw his hands. The champ is in trouble.
Look for an overhand right here, Brian.
Joshua with the hard jab. Trying to answer, but he's safe and he's down again. Wow. Joshua looks gassed. Mouthpiece came flying out of his mouth.
6, 7, 8.
He's been down four times.
Hey, turn around. You can.
Joshua turning to his corner. He's got to be careful here. He's got to stay engaged. Okay, where is his mouthpiece?
You're in the box.
Joshua looks so tired. I think he wants out. That's it. He says that's it. Andy Ruiz is the heavyweight champion.
Oh, yeah, Anthony Joshua. Yeah. Andy Ruiz Jr. Oh, man. Yeah, that heck. And it's crazy because he wasn't even supposed to fight him. He was supposed to fight Jared Miller, who was also undefeated. He was 23-0 with one draw. And out of the 23 wins, he had 20 knockouts. He was supposed to fight him at Matt. And that Jared Miller guy, he's from New York. So he was, Anthony Joshua, I'm coming fight you in your hometown, da 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 da. So, but Jared Miller failed a drug test. He had something in his system that didn't pass. I don't know if it was PED or whatever, but he failed a drug test. So then they had to cancel that fight. So I think Andy Ruiz Jr. only had like 5 weeks to prep for this fight.
It looked like it.
Yeah. And dude went out there and geez. Anthony Joshua was just gassed from the get go.
Why was he so, especially with him being in obviously the best shape?
Right. Like, cause if you look at their body types, you like, okay, it's no way this dude.
And Cuz came out swinging. They say he's got the quickest.
Yeah, that's the thing about heavyweights though, man. That's the thing about the heavyweight division, man. Like, it literally takes, all it takes is one punch. Like, one punch in the heavyweight division can change the whole dynamic of a fight. He dropped this man four, he dropped Anthony Joshua four times, dude. Man. I was a little sketchy with the way the referee stopped the fight so quick.
I was looking at his legs, and he was. Yeah, if you look at him,
but
like,
I mean, he looked at him. He say, "Are you okay? You want to fight?" He shook his head, yeah. And then the ref just did like that. So I was like, little.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, it was a
but
little.
But afterwards, I saw
a little iffy the way he stopped it. But I guess he was probably thinking for his safety because when he hit him, it was one punch. It was one right hand. He clocked him
in the
temp.
Yeah, right
there.
That was
it. Yeah, like, his equilibrium was like just he couldn't stand straight for the rest of the fight.
Deck.
Yeah, I know. I was like, man. But what was crazy was when Anthony Joshua knocked him down. Andy Ruiz Jr. first, he knocked him down. Bam, and he got up. Bam, bam, bam. And then, like, when he first got up, and that's when everybody, of course, they're watching the fight. Everybody was like, okay, well, it's about to go to knockout. Mm-hmm. Anthony Joshua about to knock him out. He hit him with a clean right. Anthony Joshua did. Dude just took it, and he kept going. And I was like, oh, snap, because, like, I thought once he got up from the first knockdown, I'm thinking Anthony Joshua about to finish dude out. Mm-hmm. Anthony Joshua caught him with another right, a good straight right. I mean, hit him flush in the jaw. Bam. Dude still was just like.
Yeah, then he realized he was fighting a Mexican.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, snap. So then he fought him back. Knocked him down. I'm like, oh, man, Anthony Joshua got knocked down. And then you could tell from that first knockdown, he was.
Like, yeah, he was gassed after
he
that.
Like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like that the whole time. And when he went back to his corner, I was like, oh, man.
That's why people saying that he wasn't really prepared. Like, he underestimated him.
Yeah,
I
think so.
I
think once he found out he was fighting him, he was like, okay, cool. We can kind of relax this training camp. You can't, man. Mm-mm. You can't, no matter who you fight.
And
especially at the heavyweight division.
And
man.
Wilder was probably pissed. Like, damn, nigga, I could have knocked this nigga out.
Everybody was pissed.
Got the title right there.
Yeah, everybody was pissed because it was like you wanted to see Anthony Joshua and Deontay Wilder fight. And it's like now. That fight loses a lot of luster. Mm. I mean, a good thing, if they do end up fighting in the future, I mean, Deontay got all the leverage at this point. I mean, especially if he's about to fight Ortiz again. They about to have a rematch, and then he already saying he's planning on fighting Tyson Fury again after that fight. So
that would be the one that probably everybody now will look more to than the Joshua fight.
I don't
did
know,
you
man.
See how Filet did that video?
Yes, man. Yes. 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 I always watch Filet stuff. And Filet stuff, he hilarious,
man.
Yeah,
man.
Y'all always watch this joint. But yeah, it was definitely an upset. I mean, was it the biggest upset in boxing history? No, it wasn't the biggest upset in boxing history. I mean, yeah, analytics folks going to say yeah because of the odds and stuff. But, I mean, to me, Tyson losing to Buster Douglas is still the biggest moment in boxing in sports history in general as far as upsets, man.
But like, this crazy. Just quells some of the hype.
It does.
For the fight.
Yeah, it does. Cause like everybody wanted to see Deontay Wilder and Anthony Joshua fight. Like so
But
yeah,
it still would be a good fight, right?
I mean,
it's just the hype is
the hype. Oh yeah, hype
a
is,
little bit.
The hype is done.
It depends.
Hype is done.
It just
it's
depends.
Done. If Anthony Joshua comes back, rematches, dude, whoop his ass.
They've already activated the rematch.
Yeah. So if Anthony Joshua comes back, whoop his ass. Like, just whoop his ass.
Yeah,
you got to knock him out.
First round knockout, bam, okay. And Anthony Joshua look like he's serious like he did when he fought Klitschko. Okay, then it's back on. And
if he get knocked out, if he loses again, though?
It depends on who he lose to and how he lose. If he lose the way he did again to old boy, oh, yeah, it's a wrap. Like, it's a wrap.
So... if people are suspecting that he didn't train for Anthony Joshua.
Andy Ruiz Jr. Oh, you talking about who didn't train? Anthony Joshua didn't train.
I'm sorry, for Butterbean.
Yeah.
So,
say what you want. Butterbean had them stones,
though.
He
did, though.
He had them stones.
He is, and he'll whoop my ass. So, let me put that out. Don't be tweeting me like you tweet Stephen A.
Right.
Don't beat his ass, not mine. I got that from Stephen A. What's his name? Let me show this brother some respect.
Andy Ruiz.
Yeah. So in my head, if he didn't train for that and that led to him getting beat, it stands to reason in my head that he would definitely train for an opponent he respects, right? Which would give us a better fight.
If they fight the second time, you mean?
For the rematch? Not Ruiz. Now I'm jumping to the one that everybody wanted to see.
Yeah,
right.
Anthony Joshua.
So just because he's losing, just because he lost to Ruiz, I understand the hype dying down.
Right.
But does that?
But your title is on the line, right?
But it still should make for
three belts.
A good.
That's what I'm saying.
Three
like,
belts.
Why would you?
He had
take
three
that
belts
light?
On the line.
Yeah. Why
no,
would
no.
You
I, a, I get all that, but I guess I'm looking at the fight that everybody wants to see.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That would still be a good fight, regardless.
Because you think he's going to get up for that? Like, okay, I'm fighting Deontay Wilder. I'm about to train my ass off.
Right, right, so yeah.
That's what Anthony Johnson
Exactly.
But he's been ducking Wilder this way before this fight happened. So that's what I'm saying. Like, why would he, if he was really about that action, we wouldn't be seeing
and
this
Anthony
Ruiz
Joshua
fight.
Chin has always been questionable. And then you get Deontay Wilder crack that chin.
So this wasn't a tuna fight?
Well, the Miller was this guy that he was supposed to fight that failed the drug test was supposed to be the tune-up fight because he was gonna, after he fought and beat him, he was going to either fight Tyson Fury next or Deontay Wilder next. So
and now that's pushed back.
Because like I said,
now he got to refight this dude just to get his respect back.
Get his
and then
back,
he got to go train
back.
And fight between
Tyson Fury or Deontay Wilder. Yeah.
And now that fight, to me, I'd rather watch that fight than anything else now.
Deontay Wilder, but Tyson we all Fury. Know that he should handle his business in the second fight.
He better.
Right.
He has to. It better not go like, he better not like barely beat him, you know, go 11 decision. Rounds. Well, not even decision, like go 11 rounds and maybe finally knock him out because of, you know, just because of maybe one of them was fatigue and Anthony Joshua probably cracked him with a good one. If it goes something like that and he was still getting the best, not the best, but like a good chunk of Anthony Joshua throughout the fight, and Anthony Joshua just pull out the knockout in the 11th round or something, it's still going to look kind of...
Why was he smiling after he lost?
Because it was probably set up. He probably took a dive. That was my other theory. I think he probably took a dive. I think he probably bet it on, put some money on, because the odds was huge.
You
know,
he said 11, the odds was that big.
The odds was that huge. Yeah,
11-1
Yeah, it was huge. So he probably talked to some folks in the back like, yo, I'm put this much bread on this. That's happened before in boxing. I'm gonna take this dive. He out there smiling because his ass was rich, and he got paid from his purse of the fight. So,
yeah, you know, he didn't look bothered at all.
He did not. If any fighter, you usually if you lose a fight like that and lose to a fighter like that, you're gonna be pissed. You know, so even Mike Tyson looked pissed when he lost to Buster Douglas, picking up his mouthpiece off the camera. I ain't gonna ever forget that fight, picking his mouthpiece off the cameras. But yeah, he looked like he was not bothered. He was like, "Oh yeah, I'm good, man."
Sugar Ray Leonard said that he cried like a baby
when he lost to Robert Duran.
Yeah, he said Roberto he cried Duran. Like a baby. And yeah, he said remained steadfast, but he said when he got in the back, he cried like a baby.
Yeah, because that was his first L. That was his
like
first
old boy
L.
Was crying to me.
Yeah, he was. You're right. He was unfazed. And when I saw that, I'm like, I don't know, he probably took a dive. He probably took a damn dive. That's my other theory. But other than that, look, heavyweight, all it takes is one punch, man. One punch can change the complex of a whole entire fight. That's all I got.
All right, so shout out to I'm going to mispronounce this, but it's Pasicho or Pasicho in the chat. He said, if Kawhi wins with Toronto, how does this affect LeBron's legacy? Don't answer this question. I'm only reading it to set it up. So somebody, JM, said, what does Kawhi got to do with LeBron's legacy? He said, sorry, I was channeling First Take for a second.
That's funny.
Oh, man. That's more that's like hilarious. Undisputed, but it's still funny.
Right, right.
Still that's funny, man. And somebody, JM, agreed with you, B. Biggest upset behind Buster Douglas. So and Brandon.
What about George Foreman beating Michael Moore? I'll throw that up there too, because George Foreman was like 20 years older than Michael Moore, and Michael Moore was a champion, and he beat him, caught him with a right, 1-2. Yep. Yeah, Buster Douglas and Tyson that's the biggest upset in sports history, in my opinion. Still.
All right, y'all, man. Appreciate everybody that hit me up, shot me a DM, or tweeted me asking if we were going to do it live. We didn't do it live last week, obviously.
Oh, yeah, we didn't, huh?
Nah, but we're back. And we didn't get a chance to do the game live Sunday. I know I said...
Anniversary, yeah, personal reason.
Yeah. I was still up here, though. But,
you shouldn't have said that, then.
Right. I'm thinking it was
Nobody was able to come anyway. I just can't... the clients had to be covered. And we won't be able to do game 3. Well, we weren't going to do game 3 anyway. We're going to do game 4, which is Friday. But FIFO's out of town. But if y'all still want to kick it, whatever. We can talk about that.
No, I'm...
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
In
yeah.
town, just...
That's right.
But, out of town. Yeah, but we'll just... You subscribe to the channel. You guys will see it when we go live.
We'll pop it up.
It'll pop up. We're still planning on watching the games live. Once we get the scheduling locked down and solidified, but either way, we'll be back every Tuesday around 9:00. So appreciate you guys chatting it up with us and watching, And we'll catch you guys next week. We out. Peace.
Peace.